Welcome to the October 18, 2018 Highlands Council meeting. I call to order and roll call, please.
Kurt Alston.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Michael.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Bruce, you on the phone? Bruce?
Yeah, this is my friend.
Oh, good. Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sevetich. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Vogel.
Here.
Robert Walton.
So we have Michael Francis, Michael Dressler, and Bruce James on the phone, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the approval of the Highlands Council minutes of September 27, 2018.
Move it.
And who would second it? All right, moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by Councilmember Bowden. Any discussion? Seeing none, please call.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Abstain.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Richko.
Yes. For Chair's report, I don't have a report this today, so any members of the council that have anything they'd like to report on? Anyone? Nope. Let's move on to the Executive Director's report.
Thank you. So I'm going to start with our municipal and county outreach activities and update. And to date, staff and myself have met with over 24 outreach meetings. Since our last council meeting, we've met with Wanacue Borough in Passaic County, the West Milford Environmental Commission in Passaic County, Holland Township in Hunterdon County, the Greenwood Lake Commission, Hanover Township in Morris County, Union Township in Hunterdon County, the County of Warren, Pompton Lakes Borough in Passaic County. We attended a council meeting a few nights ago in Washington Borough in Warren County, and we've met with officials from Somerset County. Moving forward, we're scheduled to meet and do municipal outreach with officials in Victory Gardens tomorrow evening, Parsippany Troy Hills next week, the County of Sussex, Franklin Borough's council meeting. The council has asked us to come and give a presentation on October 23rd. We'll be going to Hamburg Borough, the town of Dover. We'll be meeting with officials from the County of Bergen. And that's, I think, all that's been scheduled so far.
That's all?
Yeah. And then we'll sleep. So that's the status of our outreach, which I think so far has been a huge success, but we're not done. And then in the area of municipally issued exemptions, since the prior report out to the council, we've been notified of the following municipally issued exemptions. Highbridge Borough in Hunterdon County issued one exemption number 4. And Hopatcong Borough in Sussex County issued one exemption number 4. And then, as I think I mentioned at the last council meeting, we did hold our certification training session on October 4th here at the office. 8 individuals attended, representing 9 municipalities, including 4 municipalities that are not yet certified to make exemption determinations. So that was a good sign. Under project reviews, I have 2 to report out on. One is we completed a capital project review in the planning area for the Warren County District landfill in White Township. The applicant is proposing to expand the existing landfill, and Highlands Council staff's determination was that this was consistent with the master plan with recommendations. And the second project review that we did was an Exemption 11 review in the preservation area for Unity Fiber in Sparta Township. And the applicant's project consists of the installation of 8 utility poles along the right-of-way adjacent to Milton Road. Highlands Council staff made a determination that this was consistent with the goals of the Highlands Act. And moving into open space partnership funding, I'm hoping that you all saw the recent clips. We had some great news. Finally, on October 1st, we closed on the Kellogg property, also known as Hudson Farms, which parts of it are in Byron Township, Hopatcong Borough, and Sparta Township. This was a huge, huge project, preserving 2,200 acres. And it's a conservation easement. The council worked in partnership with Green Acres Program and DEP, and also in partnership with the Land Conservancy of New Jersey and the William Penn Foundation. The total acquisition cost for this project was $5.1 million, and the Highlands Council's contribution was a very significant $2 million. So we played a very pivotal role in this. There's a copy of a press clip on this in your packets, I believe. And, you know, from a resource point of view, I think it's very significant to note that almost 2,000 of these 2,200 acres are considered core forest, which are exceptional habitat for plant and animal species. And as you may know, there's very little core forest left in New Jersey. And this property will remain privately owned, but an 11-mile section of it is now open to the public via the Highlands Trail. In terms of the TDR and HDC update, since my last report, there's been 2 new HDC allocation applications received and pending. And in closing, I'm going to just point out a couple of noteworthy meetings and events that we've attended, in addition to all of the outreach. So since my last report, we've met with the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference with the chairman and had a very interesting conversation about some of their interest in working with us on trail apps. I spoke in front of the Highlands Coalition annual meeting, where, by the way, Councilmember Carluccio received the Candace Ashman Award, so congratulations again. A number of staff also attended, we think for the first time, the ANJAC 2018 Environmental Congress. ANJAC, as you know, is the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. It's one of the largest and, I think, extremely effective environmental conferences in New Jersey. So we had a table there, again, we think for the first time ever, and staff said that over 30 individuals from environmental commissions came and talked to them and asked questions about who we are, what we do, and how we might work together. So I think that was very effective. In addition, staff went to the Sussex County Harvest Honey and Garlic Festival, which I believe they've done for about 9 years in the past, and that's another great event where people come to our table. In this case, I think over 60 people approached the table to ask questions about, again, you know, who we are and what we do. We also attended a meeting of the Musconetcong River Management Council. And upcoming events that are noteworthy include the New Jersey League of Municipalities, which we routinely do every year with it and have a table. And then also, as I sent council members a note about, there's the Jersey Waterworks Conference coming up in December, which if you have the time and ability, is really a worthwhile event, and I think it also helps to remind people at this event where their water comes from by having a presence there. So that's it for my report to the council.
Thank you. Any questions from the council members? Okay. Move on to the Regional Master Plan Amendment Committee. Council Member Olmsted, you have a report this evening?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. You may recall that at our prior meeting, we succeeded in passing the procedure for amending the master plan. And that was a precursor for what we're ready to do tonight. Our committee met last month, and we've queued up for you the monitoring program recommendation report. You may recall that this is something that we worked on almost a year ago. If you don't recall, this is what it looks like. You all have one, and it's also on our website. The recommendation report is the culmination of several years of work on the part of our staff, as well as outside consultants and public outreach. That public outreach included 27 stakeholder technical advisory committees and multiple public sessions. The report was, as we mentioned previously, presented to us over a year ago, and we withheld action on it until today. There were a few outstanding small issues. Our committee met, and the couple little items that were changed are noted on the revision log, which you've all received and which has been posted on the website. In addition, we reported everything that we've done on the website starting on September 10th. We also sent an email blast out to everybody that is on our list, advising them that the revisions were available for review, as well as the final document that we're going to consider tonight, and that all these changes were detailed so that they were easy to find. And what I want to make most noteworthy to both council members and the public is that in reviewing this report tonight for approval and for release to the public, this does not contemplate or does not create any amendments to the master plan right now. This presents a pathway for us to consider future amendments, but there are no amendments contained in the language of this draft plan. So with that said, Chairman, I'd like to offer a motion to adopt a resolution to authorize our executive director to release this monitoring program recommendation report to the public.
We need a second.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
A move by Council Member Olmsted, seconded by Council Member Vizioli. This is a voting matter with public comment. Any comment or questions from the council first? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. This is on this resolution only. Mr. Shaw?
My name is David Shope, and I have a farm in Lebanon Township. And you presume that everyone has access to the internet. That is a fallacious assumption. Paper still works. I'd like to see what you issue on in paper. I do not have internet. I would be willing to supply electricity should you be willing to supply the hardware or internet service to my house. Thank you.
I think if anybody would want a hard copy of
it. I do have some here.
We have some behind the net there. So
I do have some here.
Yeah, any time that you would want a hard copy of anything that's coming before the council, we certainly can do that for you.
Thank you.
Ms. Post?
Deborah Post, Harmed Highlands landowner, holding the proxies of 80-plus other Harmed Highlands landowners, authorizing me to speak on their behalf. I reiterate for the umpteenth time that the harmed landowners were barred from meaningful participation in the preparation of the recommendation report. None of the thoughts, ideas, concerns, or recommendations of the harmed Highlands landowners are included in the report. Comments submitted by landowners during the stakeholder process were deep-sensed. Comments on the monitoring report itself were carefully planned for agricultural harvest season to ensure that farmers would not have the time to submit comments. Requests for extensions were denied. Indeed, the harmed landowners had to fight, going all the way to the governor's office to even be included in the stakeholder process. This council did not, and apparently still does not, consider the landowners to be Highland stakeholders. The green cabal of salaried lobbyists sitting to my left had open door access to council staff throughout the process, and even crashed some stakeholder meetings without invitation, according to the attendance records. Spare me the thought that the recommendation report isn't to be jammed through as the RMP revision. Based on history with this council, I do not believe for one second that any additional ideas, comments, thoughts, or recommendations of the harmed landowner stakeholders will be considered or included in the RMP revision process. This resolution is a sham and a scam and prima facie proof that this council has no intention of addressing the concerns and needs of the harmed Highlands landowners. Please note that all the meetings and outreaches reported today, none were in connection with the concerns and needs of the harmed landowners.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Yes. Ms. Summers?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Just an observation. When this was first provided to the public, you had some very good language about forestry in the NPRR. Then it was revised, and the good language had disappeared and was replaced by poor language on forestry. Then that has disappeared. Now there's no language about forestry. So we recognize that you are now not doing anything about forestry in the NPRR. We request that you do, and that outside of the NPRR, we move forward on forestry, working with stakeholders and the DEP. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Mr. Klopp?
On that forestry thing. Hey, Clump, I'm a farmer here in Tewksbury, 100-some acres in preserved land. But anyway, that forestry thing that you were talking about, the Forest Association submitted a complete thing on that, and the council said it was no good or whatever, never accepted it. Then he went on the outside, did an outside concern, and then that thing was no good or whatever. But going back to Mrs. Post's comments there, I mean, you people got to realize, we're the harmed people in this deal. And all the regulations that are coming through the TDR programs, and you know, I mean, it just doesn't hold up. So what we need is some funding and to support this. So for whatever, I won't use any more of your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, any other discussion by the council? Any questions?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to say that I still do not support our committee meetings not being all open to the public. And I appreciate that some of them will be open at the discretion of the committee, but I believe that our transparency will be improved if all of our committee meetings are open to the public. I think, you know, public then will be better prepared for when the matter does come before the council. So I want to reiterate that that's my position on this.
Thank you. Okay, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko?
Yes. Okay, Budget and Finance Committee, Councilmember Holtaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our operating budget for 2019, which is already half over, we have three changes. One of them is a reduction in the mobile phone and equipment, deduction of $1,000, adding $1,000 to the conference and trainings for our staff, so that as our executive director indicated, they're trying to make more meetings, more outreach, and that makes money available for that. The other item that we have is something that's driven by retirements, and we have no reserves for in the annual budget for the annual actual sick and benefit values that pay out when somebody retires. As you know, there's been a change to that. There's limits on how much it is and how many days and all that kind of stuff. But we've requesting $29,324.52 to be added to the budget to cover that for next year. And this is something that's going to have to be recurring as time moves on, because we're starting to get to the point where we've had people here quite a while that have accumulated quite a bit. So those are the two changes. That has increased our total budget by that $29,000. We also had left over from unexpended funds last year, $182,091.39 in our salary account, and that has been, with the permission of Office of Budget Management, allowed us to roll that over into our RMP funding, and it was increased from $6,900 to $189,060.84. So it's the only way the RMP is funded, by what we save out of line item, and we did have a substantial increase this year. So that's the good news, but we still do continue to have the same appropriation in the state budget of $2,315,000 for our day-to-day operations. That's the budget.
Thank you. We have two resolutions. The first one is approval of the fiscal year 2019 general operating budget. This is a voting matter for public comment. Any discussion or questions from the council? Seeing none, anyone from the public would like to speak on this resolution? Ms. Post?
When you're considering the credits and the pension benefits of all the salaried staff that needs to be included in the budget, I'd just like everyone to remember that landowners and farmers don't have guaranteed pensions. They don't have 401ks. Their savings was locked in their land, and you took it. So why is there such great concern for the pensions of overpaid staff and zero concern for the pensions of New Jersey's farmers?
Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? And seeing none, no other discussion by the council, please poll. This is for the fiscal.
We need a motion.
Second.
Moved by council member Holtaway and seconded by council member Vizioli.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. The second resolution is approval of fiscal year 2019 Highlands Protection Fund capital budget. This also is a voting matter with public comment. Any comments or questions from the council first? And
I'll give a little presentation.
Oh, okay. I thought you did right. Okay.
No, that was on the operating budget.
All right. We have a presentation.
The capital budget's one of these loosey-goosey things. We have money. It's driven by applications. We don't know where the money's really going to be spent because it's driven by the application. And one of the things that we've discovered over the past couple of years is that when municipality applied for a grant for performance grant, it was a $200,000 grant, and we found that a lot of towns did not necessarily pursue it. That money was then tied up and inaccessible for other grants, and towns would participate or not participate. So decisions have been made to have an initial assessment grant of $10,000 to the towns so that they do a preliminary review, they understand what they're getting into, and then once they get through that, we then hopefully have a much more successful drive through the planned performance grant. That then allows an additional $200,000 to get through all the requirements to comply with the RMP. We're going to have planned performance amended grant programs. These are to assist municipalities in additional regulatory documentation at the local level to fully comply with the regional master plan, and we've set that amount at $235,000. Another requirement is water use and conservation management plans. All municipalities are required to complete this, and that's a separate line item. And we have $67,000 available for those that want to do that. We also have a line item for county plant conformance grants for the individual counties that participate or within the Highlands. And then we have plant conformance environmental and economic sustainability grant program. This is, again, a new classification, and the idea here is to try to encourage more targeted operations where municipalities can make recommendations to us in areas such as ecotourism, historic preservation, educational grants, sustainable economic development grants, and water quality restoration and monitoring grants. So we're trying to fine-tune the operation. We're trying to get them to use their resources and their imagination to come to us to form grants that can help them, and there's now a line item budget that allows us to work within that. Okay, Herb?
Okay, Herb.
Okay, Herb says it's okay.
Okay.
Do you want to make the motion?
I'll make the motion for the capital
budget. Second, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Goldthwait, seconded by Councilmember Zioli. Any comments or questions by the council on this resolution? Seeing none. Any comments from the public on this resolution? Mr. Summers?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We are particularly interested and excited about the environmental and economic sustainability grants for municipalities, and we would really like to encourage, coalition would really like to encourage communities to take advantage of this opportunity. We think it's extremely important for the future of the Highlands. So we will look forward to learning more from the council about this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this? Mr. Shope.
My name is David Shope, and I would like to suggest a change in the title of this program. It's really it's a grant to municipal planners and land use attorneys because they have precious little to do up here in the Highlands now. And what you have created here, or attempting to create, and so far with a great deal of success, is a self-feeding loop, where you feed them the chow, which is taxpayers' dollars. They take the chow, they turn out some more crops to keep you in business, and that in turn keeps them in business. This is just another exorbitant waste of taxpayers' money, and we all get the bill. I object to it strongly.
Thank you. Ms. Post?
Excuse me. First, I'd like to just ask a question. What is the statutory authority for the Protection Fund grants? Where is this found?
I can't answer that.
It must be a statute that actually allows for these grants. There's no legal authority for these grants.
We'll look into that.
Do you want to?
Okay.
Sure. It is dictated by the Highlands Act.
It's in the Act? What section?
It is part of the beginning section, which indicates that municipalities and counties are entitled to reimbursement for the reasonable expenses of plan conformance. Those are the words in the Highlands Act.
I know. I'm asking for the site.
We can get that to you. We can get that to you.
Okay. One of the suggestions that I had submitted as part of the stakeholder process is that you really need a landowner advocate. And one of the things I think that should be considered is whether grants should be also available to landowners to navigate what is a horrendous maze of all the options and determinations for just compensation, as well as all the roadblocks and rigging that goes along with it. There really needs to be a landowner advocate, somebody to help people walk through this process. And I say that because people call me all the time asking for my assistance. What about their land? I look it up on the maps, I try to explain to them, I show them where their TDRs are, what the constraints are. It's not really my job, and I don't have enough time to do it, and I may not always have all the facts right. But there's no doubt in my mind there is a huge need for somebody who is on the landowner's side to help them walk through all these processes. And I'm looking at these grants thinking, why do they only go to municipalities or green groups? Why shouldn't they also be available to other stakeholders? Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Mr. Stafford.
George Stafford, Highlands Coalition, from Wharton in the Highlands. One of the things that I've been doing recently is going around and talking about this very thing about development and town centers and different things and trying to get a picture of what the economy of the Highlands is at present. We get a lot of history about what the economy of the Highlands was. We're trying to establish what the present is so that we can plan for the future. And this is going to be a big part of what we can do that if we can. Let people who are in Washington Borough the other night talking about planning and what they should be doing, and a big part about agro-tourism and things like that, farm to table and the different things that are out there that are going to come up down the line, we believe. I think it's a good idea that we start focusing on how improvements can be made. So I just wanted to speak in favor of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? All right. Seeing that, is there any other discussion by the council? You guys are quiet today. Please follow.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Coluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes. Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye. Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richo.
Yes. In other business, we have consideration of a resolution for our annual meeting schedule for 2019. This is a voting matter with public comment. I think you all have a list of the proposed meetings. Any discussion?
Yes. Just wanted to draw attention to April 18th, that Thursday precedes both Passover and Good Friday. I'm not clear if that Friday is a state holiday or not. But
what's your? We discussed that it's the day before Good Friday.
Yes. Yeah. So is that?
That's Holy Thursday.
Yeah. I just question whether that's a Thursday that we should be having a meeting, given Good Friday, start of Passover, I think is a day or two after that, and school holidays and such, if that maybe is...
Can we move it to the following week?
Yeah, I was going to suggest either the 11th or the 25th.
The week in between, a lot of schools are closed, yeah, and that's a big vacation week.
The week after.
So it would be better to have it on the 11th.
Yeah.
25th. The 25th is the Easter week.
When everybody's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about April 11th? Changing April 11th? Is that okay?
It's okay with us.
Right. Yeah, we could always adjust the calendar as the year goes on, but let's make it April 11th. So,
okay.
And do we have to change we haven't had a motion on,
make a motion to amend the resolution.
I'm going to amend it. Okay. As amended.
Just make a motion to adopt the schedule as amended.
As amended. Okay. And
note the amendment.
Okay.
I'll second.
Member Voden made the motion, seconded by Council Member Holtaway. Any discussion by the council? Seeing that, how about the public? Anybody like to comment on the calendar? Oh, this is the first time. All right.
It's the first time ever.
All
right. I'm George Stafford again, Highlands Coalition. The 4 o'clock thing used to be 5 o'clock a couple of years ago.
Well,
it
had to be a long time ago.
Yeah, we used to have it.
Well, I'm an old guy, I've been doing this for a while. But I'm just an overpaid, retired guy, kind of thing. And I can make my own schedule. But if you're picking up kids from school or you're working till 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you're a member of the public and you've got a concern here, it's real hard to make a meeting. And I had the thought in my mind when they changed from 5 to 4 that it's just assumed it's a lot easier to be here without the pitchforks and torches out here on this side of the podium. So I think that at some point you should at least consider going back to 5 o'clock. Municipalities are meeting at 7 and 8 o'clock at night, freeholder boards. So it's something that you should take into consideration.
Thank you. I don't remember 5 o'clock.
Well, just to give a little perspective, and Tracy would know this perspective, originally we alternated between 3 time slots.
Yes.
We had a morning time slot, we had an afternoon time slot, we had an evening time slot. And we sort of consolidated that process when Chairman Riley came into office. That's when we decided to just maintain an afternoon schedule. I can't debate whether it was 5 p.m. or not, but I can tell you that the problem was, since so many of us serving on the council are also elected municipal officials, there were a lot of conflicts with the evening meetings. So I think that's where the 5 o'clock morphed into the 4 o'clock, because it allowed time for these people to participate in the council meeting and then still make the evening meetings, because we had people leaving early regularly, and they weren't here to fulfill all the items on the agenda. So that's how it sort of landed at 4. It's as late as we can go to allow as many people to be here after work without interfering with the evening meeting schedule.
Well, I mean, I'm just, the public consideration is my concern. And, you know, municipalities have that, and they have their open portion like this. And if you want to hear from the public, not just those of us who are vested, I think that should be a consideration, that's all.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Mr. Plum. See, George, what you started?
He always wants the last word.
No, George, you can beat me up as much as you want. So. It's Hank Klump. That's good enough, isn't it? One of the things that I would like, and you're absolutely right, Kurt, when you said that. That is the truth. One of the things I'd like to see, as long as the dates is good, the time. We're landowners, all right? We get 3 minutes to speak once a month on equity that we lost in God forever. That's not fair. But whether it's, the farmers or the environmentalists, which are paid to be here, I think maybe 5 minutes would be nice, because if you count up how many speakers you have here in the course of a night on your three-minute thing, maybe five. So if you times that times two, that's 10 minutes. Come on, people. Let's give the people a fair shake here. And I'm not opposed to them speaking for 5 minutes either. I mean, I have nothing against that. But I think it's a shame that we only get 3 minutes once a month. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any discussion by the council? Seeing none, please poll.
Do we have a motion?
Yes.
As a motion.
Oh, we did. Okay. Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Richka.
Yes. Public comments. Anyone like to address the council now on any subject? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to ask if I'm out.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
I guess I'm feeling chatty today. I don't know. I have to say that my colleague, Elliot Ruga, was currently stranded on an island in the Block Island Sound because of wind and rain up there. And I were on WRNJ, they have a talk show. We were on with the mayor of Independence and former assembly speaker, Mr. Vitayan. And when we got done with all the political wrangling that, we wanted to be there to talk about the environment, the former speaker had some other ideas, but we had a good time. I think the Arbitron rating was pretty small. But I have to say that the mayor of Independence Township mentioned about the outreach that the Highlands staff had done, and he was tickled pink. He was just happy with that. And, you know, generally we get pretty much black and white. You can decide who's black and who's white. But I just wanted to bring that up because that indicated a change to me, that there's a lot of good work being done, and it's having effect in the community. Elliot and I do this about twice a year, and the mayor is constantly wagging his finger and yelling at us. At least for a little while this time, that didn't happen. So I think the council, so staff is doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Mr. Klum, you and George are a tag team today.
Boy, I'm getting beat up today. George, I'm still getting your back.
Again, St. Columb, I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation, not by my choice. One of the things is, I don't know whether you people seen this in the Daily Record here in Morristown. Anybody see that?
What does it say?
Okay, what they're doing is, on less than an acre, right, they're putting 38 units.
Must be in Morristown.
It is in Mars, yeah, correct. And our mayor would probably fill us in better than I could do it, but I only read what, you know, as farmers can read, you know what I mean? So, but my question for the Highlands is, I mean, this is a sliver of a thing, and they're going to put 38 units in there, a five-story building, how many PDRs? Anybody know?
Three?
No. Okay, it's nothing. So, come on. How can this be? Does that make sense to anybody? That's it. I'm done. George, you can finish out in a couple minutes.
No. Don't offer that to him.
Maybe we should take this on the road.
We got a radio together.
Yeah, I can't get on the radio.
Deborah Post, Chester Township. Section 6, little n, of the Highlands Act speaks to the council's need to recognize, quote, the need to provide just compensation to the owners of the Highlands lands, whether through acquisition, transfer of development rights programs, or other means or strategies. The legislature intended there to be multiple avenues for just compensation, one of which was to be farmland preservation. The Highlands Act edited the Agricultural Retention and Development Act by adding to NJSA 4:1c-31 the third thought that if the Highlands Council had developed a TDR bank, that the, quote, municipal average of the value of the development potential of property in ascending zone established by the bank may be the value used by the board in determining the value of the development easement in farmland preservation transactions. The language reads that this council's municipal average analysis contained in this council's TDR technical report adopted with the regional master plan could be used in lieu of two appraisals. The sections of the Act that I have just cited are positive indications that the legislature wanted landowners to be treated fairly, wanted them compensated, and surely did not want them to be additionally harmed. But none of this language and intention has been implemented. Indeed, the opposite has happened. And this can be fixed by the will of this council. The use of the municipal average in lieu of appraisals has been repeatedly denied to landowners. The appraisals for farmland preservation are now being rigged to utilize depressed, non-developable Highlands land comparable sales to value the taken and lost development easement. Think about this for a minute. The Highlands Act strips all development value from the land, causing land values to drop precipitously. Then the Highlands Act depressed values are used to determine the development potential of property for just compensation purposes. Think about it. This is a wicked and evil catch-22. Does anyone on this council believe that this is what the legislation intended and what you are mandated to oversee? The municipal average is contained in the TDR technical report, determined by this council, provide an easy and obvious fix to the problem of appraisals rigged to underpay. This council must pass a resolution providing landowners with the option to have the municipal averages used or even just considered in the determination of development potential for easement sale purposes. Please do not tell me that you don't have the standing or authority or some other ducking spin. A resolution of this council demanding fairness to landowners would go a long, long way to seeing such fairness become a reality.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council?
Yeah.
Mr. Show?
What this council has done over the years has tendered essentially first devalued currency in the form of TDR credits and then rendered the devaluation to essentially zero because you haven't sold any. The TDR bank has not sold a single one, which means there is no market. Simple as that. Recognize this fact. Recognize that if this is what the legislature intended, this is exactly what you've given them. And I do believe this is what this particular legislature over the years of this act has intended. I believe it is the work product of a corrupt government in Trenton, and you are the manifestation of it right here in Chester. It's as simple as that. And I also want to congratulate you on your participation in attempting to make whole of a billionaire. Peter Kellogg, who owns Hudson's Farms, is a billionaire. He needs the money that you've given him like he needs a hole in the head. He has a hunting preserve on his acres up there, which I'm sure will continue. And Peter Kellogg has played you for fools. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Wait a second. No one wants a second.
Second.
There you go. Council member voted second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you.